I'm Patrick Madrid, publisher of Envoy Magazine. Welcome to Search and Rescue, the program that will teach you how to bring your family and friends into or back into the Catholic Church.
Let each one remember that he will make progress in all spiritual things only insofar as he rids himself of self-love, self-will, and self-interest.
Your ego is a dangerous thing. And take it from me, egoism is a trap that's easy to fall into once you launch your search and rescue mission for souls. What this means is if you don't have a tight grip on your ego, this can be far worse than being scripturally unprepared for a discussion. In fact, your ego, if uncontrolled, will quickly distort your search and rescue mission to try to help your friend or your relative. And your search and rescue mission, if driven by the ego, can quickly become a search and destroy mission. I've seen this happen many times. And in this show, I'm going to give you some tips for how you can curb your ego when you share the faith with your friends and family. I'll also show you how to deal with another person's ego when it gets in the way of his or her ability or their willingness to understand and embrace the truth. Your ego, let's talk about that first. The ego makes you want to put yourself first. The ego is that part of each one of us that says, I, me, my, in relation and in reaction to the world around us. So since you and I can perceive the world only from our own unique vantage point, the ego is a natural part of who we are as human beings. God made us that way. We see everything and everyone in relation to that single fixed point of reference, ourselves. Now, even though it's in our nature as individuals to see things this way, we still have to guard against the egocentric tendencies we all have. In this respect, the ego is no different from any other natural elements in our soul. And the appetites that we have to contend with every day, such as the appetite to eat and to drink, these things we have to govern or we will quickly fall into the sins of gluttony and drunkenness. In the same way, the ego can fall into the bad habit of seeing everything and everyone outside of us as revolving around us. This tendency to want others to revolve around us can be dangerous, and that's self-evident in the spiritual life. It's dangerous especially when it becomes tangled up with our desire to bring Christ to those around us. An unchecked ego is like a weed that grows up around the heart and chokes off its ability to be selfless and to seek the good of others. In the heart of an I, me, my sort of person, other people and their needs are secondary at best. This is deadly for you as a Christian because it prevents you from fulfilling Christ's command that you restrain your ego and seek the good of those around you. In John 13, the Lord said,
"A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
To obey this commandment, especially as it pertains to your own search and rescue efforts, you have to let go of your ego. An unchecked ego will also cause pain and privation for your family, your friends, and your coworkers. It will blind you to their needs. You'll be concerned only about the things you want. St. Paul warned against this in Philippians 2. He said,
"Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others."
Now let's talk about another problem. It's called vainglory. Vainglory is that self-serving, self-admiring attitude that the ego wants so strongly to foster in us. It's a self-imposed straitjacket for the search and rescue apostle. So you and I cannot afford to fall into the trap of vainglory. If you want to be free to reach out to your non-Catholic friends and relatives with the truth about Christ, you must not give in to this danger of vainglory. Here's what a wise priest once wrote about it. He said, "Vainglory is an expression of envy and jealousy, and therefore an obstacle to brotherly love. Vainglory," he said, "is an inordinate regard of self. It is self-conceit, the overestimation of one's powers, social position, learning, or talent, or skill or ability." St. Paul considers vainglory to be an obstacle to brotherly love. St. Paul said, "Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way." And in the same way, anyone who permits himself to be governed by vainglory easily arouses resentment in others. So we have to try to see how vainglory tends to belittle the good that we do possess, how it tends to make you untrue, unhappy, and ridiculous even in the eyes of others, how it can spoil your character. "You have received great favors," this priest wrote, "favors and unmerited blessings from God. Of yourself, you are and have nothing except sin. And left to yourself, you would be a slave to passion. Whatever is good in you is really due to the working of grace in your soul. Therefore, humility and gratitude should be natural to you." Now, this holy priest that wrote these words was Father Lawrence Lavosick in his book, The Hidden Power of Kindness. Now, let's keep that in mind as we go through, and let's pause for a moment and let these words of wisdom sink into our souls. Think for a moment about the non-Catholics in your life with whom you'd really like to be able to share your Catholic faith. But these same people seem resistant to you, closed off. Maybe they're unwilling to even listen to you. Now ask yourself these questions. Am I a victim of my own ego and vainglory? Do I honestly seek the good of the other person, or do I want to convert him because it will make me feel better about myself? Do I approach my non-Catholic friends and family with a contentious spirit? Am I defensive or argumentative when the subject of religion comes up? Am I courteous? Am I considerate? Do I realize that those around me are not necessarily able to see the Catholic Church objectively, and that their lack of objectivity may not be their own fault? Does their inability to accept the Church irritate me, or does it cause me to be more patient and considerate with them? What are my real motives for wanting to bring my non-Catholic friends into the Catholic Church? Deep down, do I want to win arguments or win souls? Do I have, or am I striving to cultivate, a sincere spirit of detachment? Do I think I'm a failure in God's eyes because I haven't been successful in bringing someone home to the Catholic Church? Have I lost my interior peace and serenity and become agitated or irritable over these situations?
For the sins committed against your Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen.
If you would like to write to us at EWTN, we would love to hear from you. Our address is EWTN, 5817 Old Leeds Road, Irondale, Alabama, 35210. Or check out our website at www.ewtn.com.
It's fun.
It's free.
It's Wings, EWTN's weekly e-newsletter delivered to your inbox free each week. Read about upcoming special programming.
And learn what's new at EWTN, radio, TV, and Internet.
Just send an email to radio@ewtn.com.
Be sure to put Wings in the subject line.
Wings, of free service from your friends at the Global Catholic Network, EWTN.
Next time you visit EWTN.com, be sure to check out the religious catalog section. You'll find a wide variety of Catholic products. From Bibles to rosaries, there's something for everyone. And you can order online. It's easy, safe, and secure. Shop the religious catalog 24 hours a day at EWTN.com.
Let's return to Search and Rescue with Patrick Madrid on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
These are just some of the questions you should ask yourself and God in prayer. You see, it's crucial that you examine your motives. You have to check your ego and make a strong, consistent effort to seek the good of those around you, even if that means you may need to be silent in the face of ridicule or obstinacy toward the Catholic Church or yourself. Think often of these words of St. Jose Maria Escriva.
For all your learning, all your fame, all your eloquence and power, if you're not humble, you're worth nothing. Cut out that ego that dominates you so completely. Root it out. God will help you. And then you'll be able to begin work for Christ in the lowest place in his army of apostles.
Wise words indeed. So let's remember, we cannot let our egos drive people away from the church. Let me tell you about three men whom I know personally and how each of them has dealt with his own ego in trying to convert others. Two of these men are Catholic. One is a Protestant. I'll refer to the first Catholic as Skip. He's a lifelong Catholic who became interested in apologetics several years ago. At first, for Skip, explaining and defending the faith was a pastime, but it was a fun pastime. So eventually he became engrossed in it, and he devoted all his spare time to quote-unquote converting non-Catholics. The problem was that Skip became a victim of his own vainglory. He came to see non-Catholics as potential trophies. For Skip, getting a non-Catholic to say yes to the Catholic Church became like an obsession. He took advantage of every chance he got to buttonhole Protestants and other non-Catholics and literally batter them with arguments and Bible verses and historical arguments in support of the Catholic Church. Skip became reasonably skilled at arguing on behalf of the church, and soon his appetite for winning arguments became insatiable. Notice that I said his appetite for winning arguments. You see, he classified all people into two categories. Everyone was in one or the other, the ones that he had converted, and the other category was everyone else that he hadn't yet converted. Most non-Catholics found Skip's clutch-and-grab style of apologetics, defending the faith, to be obnoxious, and his potential converts realized pretty quickly that his real goal was merely to win an argument. Skip would drop anything at any time to ply a potential convert with books or tapes or to hold long phone conversations aimed at convincing that person of the error of his non-Catholic religion. The problem was, he seemed to go to these lengths solely to stoke the fires of his own ego. Every person he won to the Catholic Church was a win for him. And Skip's problem was that he wasn't a search and rescue apostle. Rather, he had become a search and destroy big game trophy hunter. He won arguments here and there, sure, but in the process, because he lost sight of why he was doing this in the first place, he drove many people further from the church by his ego-ridden quest to rack up more points. Now, the second man I'm going to take a look at, I'll call him William. He is an evangelical Protestant who works very hard to try to convince Catholics that they are in a heretical, counterfeit Christian system. Unlike Skip, William doesn't chase after opportunities to get into religious arguments with others. Rather, he's more discriminating, and he follows through only in those situations where he thinks he's likely to receive public praise and admiration for his efforts to convert Catholics. I know this man personally, and I know that William's cleverness and his gift for rhetoric and quick thinking have actually helped him to rise to a level of public visibility. He is lauded by his followers, and unfortunately, he's vilified by many of his opponents. But his problem, like Skip's, is also the ego. You see, he has made self-conceit part of his way of reaching out to other people. And that self-conceit has blinded him to the way that he comes across to those that he so badly wants to convert to his way of thinking. If charity and a sincere love for others had been at the core of William's efforts to convert Catholics, I'm sorry to say, he would have made more headway. But fortunately, though, his efforts to draw Catholics out of the church have been blunted almost entirely, and simply because his ego turns people off. Now, the final person I want to mention is named Michael, or we'll call him Michael. He's a former evangelical Protestant minister who is now a Catholic, and he is not like William or Skip in the area of the ego. Michael radiates a genuine, sincere, Christ-like love for those around him. He has a deep spirit of detachment in his efforts to explain and share the Catholic faith, which means that he is not out there trying to win arguments. He is out there trying to win souls. He strives to help other people come closer to Christ and to the church, not for his own selfish or vainglorious reasons, and certainly not to win arguments, although he is a formidable apologist, but because he knows that he is called by Christ to sow the seed and then move forward. He knows that the reason for the conversion of anyone he helps to bring to the faith is really the result of God's grace, not his own powers of persuasion or argumentation. Now, it's true, Michael sometimes feels anxiety and concern for others. He can feel frustrated, especially when he's worked hard to provide them with biblical and historical evidence for the Catholic Church, and yet they simply won't accept it. He knows, however, that he should never imagine that this whole process of conversion is riding on his shoulders alone, and that he's very wise, because he knows that God is working on those other people through unseen, mysterious channels of grace, things that you and I simply can't see. He's detached because his motives are genuine. He isn't doing this to build up his own ego. Rather, he's seeking the greater good of that other person. Now, let's stop and think for a moment. These three men, Skip, William, and Michael, they show us why it is so important for you and I to guard against our egos when we engage in search and rescue missions with our non-Catholic family members and our friends. Skip, I would say, is a wannabe apostle. He has the zeal, but he lacks the charity that could transform his efforts from a headhunting expedition into a real search and rescue mission guided by God's grace. He talks to others about the faith because doing so satisfies his deep-seated appetite for winning arguments. William has skill and dedication, but he is at the mercy of his pride. He is like some of the non-Catholics you'll sometimes encounter in your search and rescue missions. Keep this in mind. First, William's smug conceit makes it very hard, if not impossible, for him to lure Catholics out of the church. And of course, for them, this is a good thing. Because they are repelled by his inflated ego, they don't listen very deeply to what he's saying. Now, don't you be like him as you reach out to your non-Catholic family members and your friends. He is the opposite of the kind of apostle that you are called to be. He's proud. You must be humble. He's pleased with himself. You must be humble. He's haughty and condescending. You, however, must be genuine and personable. He is ineffective because his ego has wrapped its tentacles around him, constricting his efforts. But by avoiding those pitfalls, you will be very much more effective at helping win people over to the truth. Now, the second thing to keep in mind about William is that Christ loves him and wants to rescue him as much as he does anyone else. William himself is a wandering sheep, although he would never admit that even if he did realize it. So you must learn from him how to approach those people in your own life who are like him. And I'm sure that there's no doubt you can think of a family member or a coworker or a friend, someone you know, whether a former Catholic, perhaps a Protestant, or even a non-Christian, whose attitude toward the Catholic Church resembles William's. You want to draw that person closer to the church, but he won't come. He has become so inflated with his own sense of brilliance and self-importance, all the books that he's read, all the conferences he may have attended, that he simply can't allow anyone, least of all you, to show him he's wrong about anything. So my advice in a situation like that is that you must approach that person primarily through prayer. Definitely, you need to look for opportunities to talk about the faith so you can explain it more clearly to him, but you should be much more reliant upon your hidden secret weapons of prayer and fasting on his behalf. Don't forget, those weapons are always available to you at any hour of the day or night. Even if that person is at a great distance, you can always pick up those tools of prayer and fasting on his behalf. So now let's take a look at Michael again. He isn't out to win arguments. He's looking for the greater good of those around him. That, of course, is why he's so effective in his search and rescue efforts as an apostle. We have to imitate Michael. So that means examine your own motives often and work for the good of the souls around you, not for your own good. And you'll find that by controlling your ego and developing a spirit of humility, you will not only avoid obstacles in your own search and rescue missions, but you'll also help others come to the faith by your genuine concern for them. Concentrate on being a sower of the seed of truth, leaving in God's hands whether your next door neighbor will accept or reject that truth. And always be ready, willing, and able to, as St. Peter said in 1 Peter 3, make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And don't forget what Jesus said. When faced with an obstinate evil spirit who plagued a boy, the apostles asked Jesus, "Why could we not cast it out?" Jesus answered, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting." Ask yourself now, what are my motives for wanting to draw others to the faith? Do I want to win souls or to win arguments? Am I kind and courteous in approaching others about the faith? Have I commended to God my search and rescue mission and its apparent successes or failures? Now for our search and rescue action agenda. 1. Examine your motives frequently, asking God to help you find and root out any vainglory, selfishness, or anger that may be within you. Also, go to confession regularly, and particularly keep in mind sins of vainglory and pride. Receive Holy Communion weekly, or even daily if you're able to, asking Christ in the Eucharist to help you keep your ego in check. Also, forget about slights and insults immediately. Now, I know this is easy to say and hard to do, but God will grant you this grace if you ask Him to. And meditate often on these words of St. Paul. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Remind yourself often that you are God's messenger, so commend your search and rescue missions to Him.
Who can discern his errors? Clear thou me from hidden faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Search and Rescue. I'm Patrick Madrid, and I'm wishing you all the best in Christ.